the winch on. He's put you on a path. Don't you tell him the direction you want to go like Jonah did. God said to Jonah, I want you to go this way. And Jonah says, no, I'm going this way. That won't work. But if you will just obey the Lord and go in the direction he says, I'm telling you, he's got good things planned for you. Psalm 40. And we're going to read verses 1 through 10. If you're using a Pew Bible, that's on page 618. And why don't you stand with me, please, as we honor God's word. The Bible says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears that hast thou opened, burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, there is so much in those 10 verses. There is no way we will cover it all. We'll hit some of the highlights. And I hope this week in our quiet time we would ponder some of the truths in this psalm and of course others like it. Now, Lord, this is just kind of a look back, if you will, of your goodness, your blessing, the wonderful life that we get to appreciate in a relationship with you. Lord, you have blessed the Cornerstone Baptist Church. You have blessed the family of Stan and Emily Griffin, and I am so grateful. Help us never to take it for granted. Now, as we look into your word, help us to understand it, please. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Psalms are divided into 5 books. We won't go over the divisions this morning. The first one is 1 through 41. The Psalms are the hymn book of Israel. They would sing many of them in their worship services. There are Psalms of lament, of confidence, of thanksgiving, of praise, and so on. There are Messianic Psalms, imprecatory Psalms, and different types. And obviously, we are looking at a Psalm today that is broke up of 2 different divisions. We've got the thanksgiving portion that I read, and then later on in the Psalm, if we have time, we'll look at some of the trials that they are going through. And so many lessons can be learned from that. Psalm 40 ends with a recognition of what is going on here. One source says of the Psalms, the book of Psalms is a record of petitions or laments, thanksgiving and praise to God by his people. As such, it has brought comfort, encouragement, and blessings to God's people throughout the ages. Every human emotion is covered in the hymns of aspiration to God. Every human emotion can be covered in the book of Psalms. And if you're familiar with it all, you know that to be true. And you'll be able to relate to some of the things that he says this morning. But if you look at verse 17, it says it closes with this. After all the things that we'll talk about this morning, he says, but I am poor and needy. Yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. I am poor and needy. Say that with me. I am poor and needy. And if you think that you're all full of yourself and you've got it all covered, then you do not have a right relationship with the Lord. Because the closer you get to the Lord, the less you're going to think of yourself. And the psalmist recognizes the needs that he has as he pursues the things of God. And that is so true. There's a term we use, living the dream or having arrived, like you've achieved your accomplishments. I was told when I was young that the from 30 to 50 is going to be the most productive income earning years of your life. Now here I am at 62, and I'm wondering what happened to those productive incoming years, because it doesn't seem like I am a needy individual in so many different ways, and it's fun to look back at, but on the other hand, I am living the blessings of God in my life. And sad to say, a lot of times we do not just take a time to look back on. Everybody should be required to leave the United States of America and go to Mexico, to Haiti, to any number of countries where you would look around and say, you know what? That country that I live in, the United States of America, isn't so bad compared to the rest of the world. We as Americans are spoiled rotten. When I was growing up, if I was getting out of line or was expecting something that I did not deserve, one of the things my father or mother would look at one another and they'd go, "Do you smell something?" And what they were insinuating was they could smell something spoiled, and they were referring to me, because I didn't appreciate some of the things that I had in life. And you know what? If you walk across the United States of America this morning, sad to say, in most places, you can smell something rotten, and that is the unthankfulness of this great country that God has given us. And we so think that we are deserving. We deserve nothing. It is the grace of God that we get to appreciate what we have. So here we are in the Psalms. In Psalm number 40, as you look at our text, it says, "I waited patiently for the Lord." I waited patiently for the Lord. Say that with me. I waited patiently for the Lord. A question, do you really? Do you patiently wait for the Lord? I failed the patience class. I still do. It's hard for you know that Jeremiah tells us that God says, "I have great plans for you, plans to prosper you, to take care of you, to give you an expected end." But you know what? As Christians, we want that expected end to come right now. When does my ship come in? And that's not, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry." So obviously the psalmist is saying, "I cried out to the Lord, and the Lord heard me." And I want you to know the Lord is a prayer answering, a prayer hearing God. He hears you when you call out to him. He's very interested in what you have to say. "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry." And so let's see what happened. Let's see what the Lord did for David as he penned this psalm. He said, "He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon the rock and established my goings." Point number one, he took us from a pit to a path. From a pit to a path. Now, what can happen when the Bible talks about a pit? If you look back in the Hebrew, what the intention of the pit is, it's either a place of imprisonment or a grave, one or the other. Neither one's good. They are positions that you can't get yourself out of and you need to be rescued from. Now, if you look back in history, there's been great illustrations in the past. Paul talked about putting a bit in a horse's mouth to give it direction. That was, if you will, during the horse riding days with the Apostle Paul. Then as we get further on in the Christian life, you'll notice there are illustrations in some of the old hymns. They're seagoing hymns where we talk about throw out the lifeline. Someone is drifting away. And the time those illustrations were given, those made perfect sense because people were used to if they had to go a great distance, they were going by water and the danger of the sea was very real. You know, today we got satellites telling us the weather. They're going to tell you that it's going to rain for the next 20 minutes and it's going to be clear by 8:20. And you know what? Usually, honestly, they're right when you look at some of those things. If you're a golfer, you can go into the golf course and they'll say, "Yeah, it looks like we got a little trouble right there around 2 o'clock, but it's going to clear out of here and you'll be able to play your tee time." For golf, I always pray to get rained out, but that's a different subject. But all of those things, they're back in the time, the seafaring time, they did not have those kinds of things. It was not uncommon to get caught in a storm and they did not know it was coming. And the dependence on God when you went to sea was absolutely incredible. I would like to say in this day and age where the Lord is rescuing him, he brought me up out of a miry pit, set my feet. I want to liken that in today's day and age is if you ever drove a wrecker or you've seen a recovery effort where a car has gone off the road and it's in horrible shape, and the wrecker shows up, and in my early days in the service station business, I used to do a certain amount of recovery work, and we'd pull up, and we'd see this vehicle on out in the woods or wherever it was, and we'd take the winch cable, and we'd pull it out, and we'd hook it onto something hopefully solid, and then you'd start winching that thing back onto the road, and you're trying to either tow it off or get it to where it could drive itself. And so there was the recovery effort going on. If you will, we are like a vehicle. And the Lord is the wrecker driver, and at times he wants to hook a cable on you and bring you into the straight and narrow to put your feet back on the path. But you know, I've found sometimes people either don't want to be recovered. Recovery can go a couple of different ways. It can be rescue or it can be a redo. December 5th, 1991, I was driving an L8000 oil truck over here on a road, and it's either Corinth or I can tell you where the place was, and some bozo decided to run a stop sign out in front of my truck, and to avoid killing him and his little Subaru, I swerved, took out the front of the Subaru, which I was glad to do, which that sounds horrible, but you know, the worst thing you can do is totally miss someone that is in error. Should I say this? This is going to go out across the nation, but you know, if someone causes an accident, they ought to be there for the cleanup. At any rate, I digress. So to avoid killing the driver, I had to swerve. I took out the front of it, totaled the Subaru, and in the effort, I rolled that truck over and put it in the ditch. It landed in a snowbank. It rolled over so slowly. I was not wearing a seatbelt, for which I am very thankful, because as that truck started to roll over, I was able to get out of my seat and stand up, and as the truck rolled over, I was able to stand as the truck rolled over, and when it's setting on the side, I was standing on the driver's door, and obviously, it's up in the air like this. You talk about confusing. The key to shut it off is down here now on the floor. And I couldn't figure out how to shut that truck off if my life depended on it. And that thing, finally, I got my bearings, and a fire extinguisher had come loose and gone through the hood of the cab. And if I had been sitting there, buckled in, I don't know how that would have gone. But anyway, so the wrecker comes. They put a cable on it. They start winching that thing, trying to upright it. About halfway uprighting, they had dragged it in the road a little bit, and now it's at about a 45-degree angle, and there was a kink in the cable, and in that kink, the cable snapped, and they dropped the truck in the road. They did way more damage on the second drop than they did on the first one. So obviously, Newton's third law for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction, is Newton's third law kicked in and says, no, I don't want to stand upright. I want to fall back down. And they bounced it off the hot top, and that's what did all the damage. And so for the rest of the life of that truck, I got to look at that nice shiny dent, the side of that aluminum tank, and that still ticks me off, and it's just so cathartic to share this with you. And here it is in 1991. How long has that been? You know, the whole point of that ridiculous story is this, is that sometimes the rescue effort doesn't go well. You would think everyone would want to change. You would think that when God gets a hold of someone and says, listen, you've been going in the wrong direction, and I want you to go in the right direction, and you're listening to God, and you say, I agree with you, Lord. I think I should go in that direction. I think that's the right thing to do, but you know, please don't make me do X. And we start dictating to the Lord how our recovery should look. That won't work, folks. You're going to end up redoing the recovery because there's going to be a relapse. And I'll tell you what the deal is. A lot of times there are forces working against you. You know, in America today, some of our quote-unquote recovery efforts have absolutely no desire in you truly recovering. They want you as a statistic to continue to be a problem so that they can use whatever force or power they have to control you. The revolving door in our prison system, the refusal to allow the Bible to be taught in our prison systems. The only way you're going to change the life of an individual is through the heart of the individual, and only God can change the heart. And I want you to know, if you want to be rescued from your pit this morning, there is a rescuer. His name is Jesus. And if you will say, Lord, here I am, take me. I am a mess, but I want to be rescued. Will you please do it? Just do what he says. Just do what he says. Say that with me. Just do what he says. And I'm telling you, I am living proof that following the Lord is the most satisfying life you can possibly imagine. I'm so thankful for it. This past week, you knew that I went off with my little woman. We celebrated 22 years of marriage. And so in that process, we're trying to figure out, I asked her, unfair question, but so tell me what the best part of 22 years was. And obviously, you're looking at it. I mean, this isn't a hard question, you know. And so we did all the things that we do, and we went to Caswell's in Waterville. And then she, you know what? She wanted to shop for shoes. Ladies, does that surprise you at all? So we went shoe shopping, and we stayed in a nice place in Portland, and quality time together. And it was, and we talked and shared. And what are you laughing at? And you can tell that I set no records on this deal whatsoever. But, you know, it's kind of, but what the, my purpose in all of this is listen, if you don't look back at the goodness of God in your life, you've made a great mistake. And I just am so thankful for 22 years with that little woman right there. It's unbelievable to me that I got to have her, that I've gotten to live with her, because I was sure the first time was 18 years. And I didn't think I would live to be as old as I am. I always thought I was going to die young. And the older I get, the less chance of that happening is. But, you know, listen to me. You think every now and then, you take the time to sit back without a TV on, without some screen on, without anything. Put yourself in a solitary place, and you think about the goodness of God in your life. And thank God that he's been there for you and rescued you. If Jesus Christ is your Savior, you have been rescued. He has taken you out of a pit. He has set you on a path, and he is taking you in a direction that will lead you to an eternal home in heaven. And in the process, you and I are supposed to live a certain way. So he's hooked the winch on. He's put you on a path. Don't you tell him the direction you want to go like Jonah did. God said to Jonah, I want you to go this way. And Jonah says, no, I'm going this way. That won't work. But if you will just obey the Lord and go in the direction he says, I'm telling you, he's got good things planned for you. He took you from a pit to a path. Not only did he take you a pit from a path, he also says, we go on in verse number 3, and he hath put a new song in my mouth. A new song. Say that with me. A new song. You know, one thing that will happen is you follow the Lord and you get closer to him, your language will change. People will say, boy, once I got saved, I had to learn how to talk all over. You know, it amazes me the coarseness of language in America today. It is shocking. I was talking to someone about watching movies or something, and I've shared this before, and they said, I said, if they'd clean up the language, that movie would be so much better. I says, people don't talk like that. And they looked at me and said, oh, yes, Dan, yes, they do. And I'm starting to realize, yeah, they do. And I'm, what have we, my father would say, do you eat out of that same mouth? You know, he didn't, Dad Dad was a supervisor and obviously owned his own businesses, and then he went into, was a supervisor for the city of Bangor. He wasn't careful about what he said. Well, you know, he didn't allow certain things like that to happen in the shop, and you don't talk like that. And I'll tell you, some of them, it used to be men only talked like that, and you never spoke like that around women. Now, women can talk as bad as the guys do. I'm saying all that. You know it to be true. When you meet Jesus Christ, he's going to give you a new language. Old things are passed away. All things become new. All things in that is the language that we speak. And he puts a new song in our heart. There ought to be a change in you that takes place when he puts you on the path. He's hauled you out of the pit. He's let go of the cable. He's told you to drive in this direction. And as you do, the way you look, the way you talk, the way you sing, what you listen to, there ought to be an entirely new change in your life. And if that is not taking place, then I'm wondering if you're still trying to live a little bit in the world and a little bit for the Lord, and how's that going for you? It's not going well. James warns about the adulteresses and adulteresses and getting away from the world. And obviously, as many times I've shared the expression, but you know, I married Emily 22 years ago. I've not dated another girl since then. Shocking, isn't it? You know, and this, you look at this, there's a lot of women out there that want me, you know? Now that's funny. You got to admit, that's funny. Of course not. When I met Jesus Christ, the search was over. I'm not looking for what the world has to offer. See, when Israel left Egypt, they left the place of bondage and they were headed to the place of blessing. Don't miss this. Remember the bondage in Egypt? You're slaves, you're being whipped, they're killing their kids, all of that stuff, and God rescued them from that. Now they're headed for the place of blessing. It took them 40 years to be there, and what'd they do? I want to go back, I want to go back, I want to go back. They want to go back to bondage, is what they wanted. And sad to say, a lot of times Christians, they get their sins forgiven, they're headed on the path, the world will start throwing some things out to them, and they want to go back to the pit that they crawled out of. And as a pastor, I hear that, I see that, and the decisions that we make, and I'm thinking, and Emily can testify to this, so, really? Really? I quit. I'm done. I'm done. I'm done. It's so discouraging. Stop it. The life with Christ is second to none. Do not want to go back to bondage like the Israelites did. Watch out for that. New song. He went from a sour to a song. The Bible says man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. And I want you to know that man is looking on your outward appearance. That would be the clothes you wear, the things you do to your body, the language that you use, the music that you listen to. I don't know your heart. It's not possible for any one of us to know each other's hearts. But we can see what you're doing, what you're saying, where you're going. That doesn't mean we're sitting in judgment of you, but you are a walking billboard of whatever you believe in. And I think it's time for men, Christian men, to be willing to step up and be role models for the young men following us. I think it's time for women, Christian women, to step up and be role models for the ladies that are following us. And I'm disturbed at times when I see Christian leaders lowering the bar, wearing their t-shirts and tight jeans, skinny jeans, and getting the pulpit and try to be a picture of what Christianity is. And it may, for me, as old-fashioned, 62-year-old man, I just want to take those skinny jeans on that guy and who knows what. It's just disgusting to me. Be a man. Stand up. Stand for something. We think our Christianity came free. It didn't cost us anything. It cost my Savior everything. And if your faith isn't costing you something, a little bit of sacrifice in your life, then you're not singing a new song. You're living the old life. For it took us from a pit to a path, from sour to a song, and then from terror to trust. Blessed is that man, verse number 4, that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. From terror to trust. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Look at Psalm 37. Go back just a page if you're in Psalm 40. Psalm 37 in your Bible. I hear the pages turning. Thank you. We're going to bring this thing to a close very quickly. But here we are in Psalm 37. Here's a great verse for you when it comes to trust. Verse 3 says trust. Verse 4 says delight. Verse 5 says commit. Verse 7 says rest and wait. Trust in the Lord, verse number 3, and do good as thou shalt dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. A great life verse, if you're looking for one, would be Psalm 37, 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he will give thee the desires of thine heart. I'm telling you, if you will just live to please the Lord, delight in the Lord, be happy in the Lord, want to please the Lord, consider this. I've not heard another preacher say this, so therefore it could be wrong. I don't think so. What do you think brings God the most pleasure in life? What do you think brings God the most pleasure in life? Can we agree that God can be unhappy with us? So you would say that's displeasure. I believe what gives God the most pleasure in life is his family, you and I. We say that he loves us just as much as he loves his son. We are part of God's family. I want God to derive pleasure from Stan Griffin. I know as a dad, I derive great pleasure from my 4 kids. Sometimes I do not, because they're not perfect, unlike their father. But listen to me. You just consider the things you say, the words you use, the songs you sing, the life you live. Everything about us is either bringing pleasure or displeasure to God Almighty in the way that we are living. If you delight in the Lord, he will give you the desires of your heart. I'll close with this. We're out of time. I can remember as a kid, when I was young, and I still wonder what I want to do when I grow up, but when I was young, in your teens, you're trying to figure out, Lord, what is it that I'm supposed to be doing? I wanted to serve the Lord, even as a young person. I hope your desire is to serve the Lord. And so I said to my mother one time, and Mom's obviously one of the most godly women I've ever known, and I said to her, I said, Mom, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. And I don't know if I'm going to get what I want. You know, when you're young, you know, there's a few things you want. Wanted to get married, didn't know who my wife was. I shut myself off. I've got a switch in my pocket, and I killed it. So I didn't know who my wife was, and I hoped she was going to be good looking. You know, all of the things you wonder, how's this going to go? And my mother said to me, well, do you delight in the Lord? And honestly, I thought I did. I believe I did. She said, well, son, if you delight in the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart. I waited patiently for the Lord. The two go together. If you want to delight in the Lord, I promise you on the authority of the Word of God, he'll give you the desires of your heart. But you got to be patient. Are you in a pit? Do you need a new path? Do you need a new song? The Lord excels in the recovery business. He can put his spiritual hook on you and pull you out of the situation that you are in. And he wants to set your feet on a path and establish your goings. And if you'll trust him, He'll give you the desires of your heart.